is coming from John, the 11th chapter. I'll be reading the 35th through the 45th verses, but I ask you to stand out of reverence for the gospel. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Well, it's the Lenten season, and you've heard this story every Lent of your life. There's not a church, not a Protestant church or a Catholic church, no Christian church anywhere that doesn't read the resurrection of Lazarus during the Lenten season. So we're drawing ever closer to Jerusalem. Our path is taking us this way and that way, and we're following Christ. So the good news is as we move closer to the cross, we also move closer to the resurrection. I was reminded this week when we did Miss Vivian Garvey's funeral service last Sunday afternoon, we read and remembered the words that we've so gotten used to and that offer us such comfort when a time like that comes. You know the words, "Death, where is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In my Father's house there are many mansions. If I go, I'm coming back to get you so that you can go and be close to me. And you know the way to the place I'm going." And old Thomas said, "We don't even know where you're going. How are we supposed to know the way?" You know the words. I remember, and I bet you do too if you think about it, I remember when those words became more to me than words. I remember when I discovered that those words were true and right and filled my soul with a faith that I didn't have before I said them, not as words, but as an affirmation of faith. I remember that. Personal discoveries are marvelous things. Have you made a few personal discoveries in your life? Leslie Hall's the only one that's nodding, so thank you, Leslie. I'm thrilled that you've made a few personal discoveries in your life. I remember when I discovered that I did not know it all and that my mama really was smarter than me. My mama remembered it too. I remember when I discovered that you could buy meat in the grocery store. I was about between 6 and 8 years old, and I didn't know you could do that because we had chickens and cows and pigs, and you got your meat from those things. I mean, I can remember going to the basement to cut a slice of country salt-cured ham because you put it there when you killed hogs. I didn't know you could go to the grocery store and buy that. Little fish, hunting. I remember when I walked by the counter in the grocery store and thought, they got meat in here. Wonder why we're working so hard to raise pigs and cows and chickens. And I want you to know, my children, both my boys, have chickens till today. And now their children have come and got some of those chickens, and they're moving them to their houses. I don't have chickens at the parsonage, just so you know. I remember when I discovered that country music is really very often a sermon preached in 3 minutes or less, and some of those songs really ought to be in the United Methodist hymnal. Tim McGraw, Live Like You're Dying. Do you remember it? You do? You want to sing it? Can you sing it better than you sing the ones that are in the hymnal? I'm going skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. Going to love deeper, speak sweeter, and give forgiveness where it's due. That ought to be in the hymnal, don't you think? Let's write to Nashville and tell them, you need to put this in the hymnal. Bill will learn to play it. I know he will. I remember discovering that I didn't and I don't have to drink alcohol to impress anybody and try to fit in. Now, I can tell you that I never did drink. My father was an alcoholic. I was scared I would be one. I never did drink. I did pour the beer out and the ginger ale into the beer bottle or the beer can and walk around like I was drinking. But I remember the freedom when I realized I don't have to do that. I remember discovering painfully that if you charge something with that little card, you're going to get a bill for it at the end of the month, and it's going to cost you more than the original price. Do you remember discovering those things? And no matter how many times you tell somebody, if you charge that, they're charging you 19% interest, they just got to try it to see if it's going to be that way for them. I remember discovering that if you love people, they will just about always love you back, except for a few, and they just get up mad every morning at everybody. You don't take it personally. I remember when I discovered that love was very different than lust, and that being rich didn't necessarily mean you had a lot of money. Life lessons. I remember when I discovered that Shamley First was one of the very best churches in all of North Georgia. I remember when I discovered that Jesus Loves Me was far more than a children's song. How about you? Have you got memories of things that you discovered? When you discovered them, do you remember discovering these things and it making a huge difference in your life? I mean, just ordinary things. Do you remember the first time you took communion and said, wait a minute, I get it. I used to not get it. It was just a little wafer and a little cup of grape juice, but now I get it. What it feels like to be loved. I love to watch the little girls with their daddies. There is something magic about little girls and daddies. There just is. I remember when it became more fun to give something away than to get it. Do you remember that? Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he had been teaching. He was almost in a teaching frenzy, and he was trying to get this across to his disciples on the way to Jerusalem. He had been teaching all along the way, and as they grew closer to Jerusalem, they grew closer to Good Friday, and Jesus knew he was running out of time. This story is a precursor to his own death. And Jesus all but tells us that's what he's talking about when he's waiting to go to Lazarus, when the daylight hours are limited and he talks about 12 hours of daylight left. He was trying to say to us, I only got a few more days, maybe a few more hours to get this work done for the kingdom of God. I'm running out of time. The word had come that Lazarus was ill and they had begged him to come, and he put it off and he put it off and he put it off, even though he loved Lazarus, because Jerusalem is the city that kills their prophets, you see. And he had to get some other things done before he could die. The people there had already tried to stone him. And he tells us, 12 more hours of daylight, folks. We got to get this done. And old Thomas, you know old Thomas, the one that we call doubting Thomas. Old Thomas said, well, we might as well go with him and die with him. And we forget that part when we're talking about Thomas. But Thomas did an amazing discovery that life is not worth living without Jesus. We might as well go to Jerusalem with him. We might as well go and die with him. Most of us know the story. Mary and Martha, who knew and loved Jesus, didn't believe he could raise Lazarus from the dead until the second coming. And so they just wanted him to be there. And most of us don't believe that Jesus can raise us from the dead until we physically die. Most of us are walking around half dead already. Our souls are hungry. Some of our souls are starving. We've said it often enough around here, John 14. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. I did 37 funerals from June 07 to June 08. You ought to know that text. Most of you sat through at least a few of those funerals. Too many funerals around here. But have we discovered that our very souls can be resurrected from the dead even before we stop breathing? Even after job loss or spouse loss or partner loss or loss of dignity or loss of houses? Do you know how many foreclosures happened in the state of Georgia when we went through that downturn? Loss of what we think we cannot live without. There stands Jesus. There he stands, calling us. Go forth, he says. And then he says to all the things that have got us bound down, unbind them and let them go. I wonder how many of us have discovered in the midst of our worst nightmares, when we are overcome with worry and dread, and in the middle of fretting and fretting over children and grandchildren, there stands Jesus saying, unbind them and let them go. I got this. I got this. There stands Jesus saying out loud, "Fear not, fear not. I got it." Have we discovered that in the midst of the "we've never done it that way," or "I don't think that'll work in this church," or "it's our tradition and we can't do it any other way," in the midst of "we don't like change," there stands Jesus saying, "Go forth, unbind them, and let them go." Is there any among us that have discovered that as we grow older and lose our independence, as our bodies begin to fail us, we get scared, and as our car keys are confiscated, we don't know what we're going to do, and we're mad at everybody that's really trying to do the best thing for us because we have to make yet another adjustment, and some sweet day, Jesus will say to death itself, "Unbind them and let them go." Oh, I wish there were more of us that have discovered that the word impossible does not exist in the vocabulary of our Lord, and all he knows is to stand outside of our doomsday and call us forth as he tells the world and all the naysayers, "Unbind them and let them go." I've discovered a lot of things. Many more discoveries are coming. Sometimes I can be hard-headed. Sometimes I don't want to learn anymore. But I have never discovered anything more valuable than this. Jesus Christ is Lord, and nothing is impossible. And I and you rest very safely in life and in death in the palm of his hand. Amen.